Now, some time ago, I had preached a sermon, or I guess maybe it was last year, maybe a little bit less than last year, but the question was, what is the kingdom of God? And I had preached several sermons on that particular question, and one question that came out of those sermons was this question: when is the kingdom not the church? And in those lessons, we had talked about primarily how the church and the kingdom in the New Testament are represented as being basically the same institution. But on occasion in the New Testament, the word kingdom does not refer to the church per se, although in an extended sense, it can include the church. And so the question that was asked is, when is the kingdom not the church? Well, first of all, I want to make it clear that the majority of the time the kingdom is talked about in the New Testament, it is discussing the church. In Matthew chapter 16, in verses 17 through 19, there Peter makes the good confession. He says in verse 16, to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So notice he said, I will build my church, verse 18. And then in verse 19, he turns around and says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So it should be clear that Jesus' usage here shows that he's using the word church and the word kingdom to refer to the same thing, which is the body of people that came to be Christians. And so he's going to build his church, and then when the church is built, he's going to give Peter the keys, and Peter's going to use the keys to unlock the doors, and people are going to enter into the church. Of course, that happened in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon there. Another set of scriptures that are good to remember along this line are Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, where Jesus says, I say unto you that the kingdom, that there are some here who are standing by who will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God come with power. And so in that verse, the kingdom is going to come with power. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, in that verse, Jesus says to the apostles, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the kingdom is going to come with the power, the kingdom will come with power, Mark chapter 9, verse 1. The power is going to come with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, the text says that the apostles were there and then the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so with the Holy Spirit came the power, and the conclusion that we draw is that on that day also came the kingdom. And of course we know that that's the day that Peter announced that Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. So the king was sitting on his throne, and that was the beginning of the kingdom. And of course, later on in that time, there were 3,000 who obeyed the gospel. And in obeying the gospel, they used those keys that Jesus gave Peter to enter into that kingdom. And so the church here is the kingdom. And when we read about the kingdom in the New Testament, generally speaking, the majority of the time, it's talking about the church. But there are a couple of passages where the term kingdom doesn't seem to refer to the church specifically, but rather to heaven itself. And those are found in several different places. One of them is 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 and 10. Where it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." What is it they will not inherit? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, typically, the word inherit is usually used with the heavenly reward. You know, we don't inherit the church per se. We become members of the church. And we inherit the promises that are given to us through Jesus in the church. That's what we inherit. But we don't inherit the church per se. But we do inherit the kingdom if we're faithful to the Lord and we don't practice these sinful things. Because those who practice these sinful things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. There's another passage in Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 21, which lists the works of the flesh. And after this, Paul says, "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So again, there's another passage where it seems to be saying that the kingdom of God here, as Paul's using it, is heaven, or the reward that we'll receive after this life is over. And the people who practice the works of the flesh are not going to inherit that. And then in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5, we read this: "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." And there he talks about the kingdom of Christ and God. And so, again, it seems that in this passage, the word kingdom is being used to discuss the heavenly reward as opposed to being a member of the church. And then finally, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes this. Now look at this. He says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Now it seems that in that passage, that is in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul is contemplating his death, and that God is going to deliver him from all of these earthly concerns that he has had and then usher him into the heavenly kingdom. Of course, he uses the word heavenly before kingdom in this passage to indicate that he does mean something other than what we have here right now. And so the word kingdom here is being used to refer to the heavenly reward that the Apostle Paul is going to receive after he dies. And Paul isn't the only one who uses the term kingdom in this way. Peter uses it in this way as well. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 11, he writes this: "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And again, it seems to be that in this passage, by referring to the eternal kingdom, he means to refer to the heavenly kingdom, as Paul referred to it in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18. Now, these few verses, however, seem to be the exception to the rule. That is, generally speaking, when you see the word kingdom, you should think about the church. But these are a couple of exceptions in which the word kingdom, or kingdom of God, or kingdom of Christ in God, or heavenly kingdom, or eternal kingdom, seems to refer to the heavenly reward and the kingdom that's going to wait for us there, as opposed to being in the church presently. Now, I say that that's this specific sense, but there is an extended sense in which you could include the idea of the church in the eternal kingdom or in the heavenly kingdom, because after all, the church is what is going to be in heaven forever. It's going to be God's people there, and inasmuch as the church is God's people, that certainly is going to be the case. And so it's kind of an extended sense. The heavenly kingdom is the church, but in these passages that we've looked at, in a very specific sense, they seem to be referring to the reward of heaven versus the membership of being in the church in the present. If you have any further questions about that that you'd like to ask, or if you'd like to talk to me about that further, be happy to meet with you and visit with you about that. But sometimes in these few passages, the term kingdom doesn't specifically refer to the church, although generally speaking, it does refer to the church in the New Testament. And so the questioner had asked, when is the kingdom, not the church? And so that's my answer to that. And if you want to include it in that extended sense, I'm not going to debate with you about that. I think that's fine. But I think in a specific sense, it's not the church that Paul and Peter have in mind when they talk about the kingdom in these specific passages. It's the heavenly reward per se. So, but otherwise, if you see the term kingdom, you can pretty much consider that it's talking about the church in those passages.